begin to ask the Lord, what say you about this meeting? What do you want to release in this time for these people? And he's given me a word, and so we're going to go through it and see how God is going to unfold it. Amen? Amen. So we're going to turn to a couple of scriptural verses. I thank my daughter Rachel for coming with me. She's my armor bearer. She is, and let me just kind of just break down armor bearer for you. My style has always been from a mentoring perspective, how do you learn but take a person by your side and show them how? We see that example with Elijah and Elisha. And so when I say armor bearer, I don't need anybody to carry my Bible. I don't need nobody to carry my stuff. I need somebody to be able to have my back. And so when we talk about armor bearing, we're talking about being able to carry my armor. And that means being able to go in and to intercede, to be conscious, spiritually conscious, to discern, to be able to go in when I need to go in. And so if you don't have that kind of a person that is armor bearing, to me, it's useless. So she's getting impartation. And all my daughters at various points in time, I have four daughters, they get this impartation. So we're going to go to 1 John 2 and 8. We're going to look at that scriptural text. And I also want you to go to Amos chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 9 through 15. And when you have it, say life. Amen. Amen. So 1 John 2 and 8, of course, we've heard it already, but we're going to read it together. Amen. And can we stand for the reading of the word? Because we understand that it is life. 1 John 2 and 8 together says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. And in who? You. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. All right, now let's go to Amos. And we're going to read verses 9 through 15. Verses 9 through 15. For lo, can we read this together? For lo, I will command and I will shift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is shifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day I will rise up the tabernacle, or raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing, reading, and doing of his word. You may be seated. So first, we just want to talk about your scriptural text, the first scriptural text, and we're just going to lay the little foundation here, and then we're going to go into Amos, and we're going to jump into what was actually being transpired at that time. If you read 1 John 2 and 8, it's breaking down all of the aspects of love and getting out of self And it's talking about, really this scriptural text is a prophetic dimensional text, because it speaks to the progression or the succession of the church. There are two dimensions: the actual dispensation that we're in, and then the spiritual maturation in which you and I are as being a part of the body of Christ. We're talking about that living church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is you and me, not the building. We got that. So it speaks of an overlapping of dispensation. So you know, when and anyone that has read the New Testament and has read about the birth, the life, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you understand that when he came in, he was coming in to usher in a new dispensation, right? Now, when you're trying to usher in a new dispensation, the old dispensation is still active. It's still functioning the way that it used to function. So let's just make that relevant to us today, so that we have a lot of churches and a lot of institutions that have established themselves in a religious kind of a setting, and it denies the power of God. And so if you find yourself in a place where all you have to do is go through the emotions, anyone can quote the scripture, but can you walk it out and live it? Are you willing to walk it out and live it? That's the reason why Jesus said, when he was going and he was healing, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Because he had to ask. He's a gentleman. You have to want it. And so many times we talk about things from a high level, and we say churchology all day long, and we speak Christianese, hallelujah, but when it comes down to living this thing out, and we're talking about the death, the life, and the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is a cross that we have to bear as well. But many people don't want to bear the cross. They don't want to do what it takes, hallelujah, to allow the power that God has already given them when they receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They don't want to go through what it takes to be able to release it. It's easy to talk it, but when you got to walk it, when ain't nobody looking, when it's just you and him, when you in your own dark corner, when you got to try to figure this thing out and you can't see how it's going to work out, are you going to believe his word? Are you going to believe his truth? Are you going to take him at his word? So when we get into the aspect, we're talking about, this scripture here is talking about, and this is the piece that I want to bring out to you, is the spiritual maturity. The spiritual maturity, because it takes maturity to let love overflow. To let love overflow takes maturity. Because the reality is, if we do have his agape love, it don't have anything to do with anybody that we like or don't like. Because he may tell you to be a ram in the bush, or he may tell you to stand in the gap for somebody. He may tell you to give something to somebody. He may tell you to lie down for somebody. And are you going to do it? Now, when I say lie down, I'm going to break this down so you can see what I'm talking about. When I say that, I mean, you know how, and these are just small things and small distractions that the adversary loves to throw in our way, because it distracts us and keeps us from doing what we're called to do, which is to take territory. And so you could have a very small conversation or a disagreement or dispute with somebody. And women hold stuff for a long time. Let's be real. Hold stuff for a long time. You know, when the person comes and says they're sorry, you don't want to take the apology because you want to still stay angry. I'm mad at you. And because you want to hold on to "I'm mad at you," the adversary says, "Oh, I got a way in now." And you've allowed the adversary to come in and have legal right. The thing about it is many times we don't see or know how it's going to manifest. And then when it does manifest, we're falling all over. Oh, Lord, what has happened? Because we didn't want to let something go. choose or esteem my brother or sister higher than I. At the end of the day, when God comes, it's just like if the police came to your house and they knocked on your door and they said, I come to get so-and-so. They don't care if you married, got kids, or anything. I'm coming to get you. Same thing with your walk with God. This is about you and him. But the interesting thing about it, in order to let love flow, that means I got to not only have good vertical relationship, I got to have good horizontal relationship. I can't think that I'm going to do this on my own, in my own silo. And you know people that basically say, I can do this. I don't need to be around nobody. I got this. I don't need to come to the house of God. I don't need nobody to tell me no word. I can go and read the scriptures for myself. Think about this. If you were walking down the street and there were body parts dispersed all over, you would think that something was wrong. Why are these body parts just all over? But that's what it looks like when the body of Christ is fragmented. And when we don't esteem our brothers and our sisters as a part of the body, and we so easily disconnect from them. It takes courage and maturity to let the love of God flow and your light to shine. It takes courage. It takes courage. Really quickly, when we talk about this scripture, it also is setting up, I'm going to the succession of how things work in terms of the states of the church. When we're talking about, and you can get it in Genesis 18, where it's talking about how dispensation and time shift. And in this particular scripture, it says the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And we know the true light is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost. It is that third person of his deity. And when we talk about that aspect in terms of it is now shining, it's talking about it's shining now in the morning. It's shining in the morning. Now, we always quote the scripture, weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Well, let me just kind of give you a little bit here so you understand why. So in Genesis 18, it's talking about, this is Abraham and Lot, the whole story, but when you're looking at dispensations or seasons of time, the evening is the first part of time. That is in the heat of the day when you're doing all of your work. That is the time when you are using a lot of physical effort to make things happen. Then there is the night time. And in the night time, whether you know it or not, normally most of us go to sleep. But in the night time, in the spiritual realm, there's a lot of activity that goes on. A lot of demonic activity that goes on. So when God is waking you up at 3:00, that's a prime time. 3 a.m. is a time when there are all kinds of things that are established. But how many know when you pray from 3 to 6, hallelujah, you're dismantling, you're disannulling, you're overturning and overruling those things that the demonic kingdom is setting up for your day. So when God wakes you up, don't just turn back over. Don't turn back over. Get up. Get up with a sense of urgency, because I promise you, if he's telling you to get up, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. And then there follows the morning. But right before the morning, there is what is called the dawn. The dawn. And if we break it down, there is twilight before dawn. Twilight speaks to the point in time when light first starts to rise, which is called the dawn. And in that period of time, and in the scriptures that we're talking about in Amos, it breaks down. And even in this scripture, in terms of John 2 and 18, Isaiah 58 and 8 also speak about this time frame. It is talking about the time when spiritual maturation takes place. It's the time when spiritual maturation takes place. How do you become strong in God? Through experience.
Through experience. How is your belief system established? Through test and trial, experience. That's twilight. That's the time before the light shines. That's the time when you're going through what you're going through. That's the time when he is tearing off and he's pulling off and he's breaking those things that are holding us hostage. Because remember, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, right? And when we came into him, we had to be what? Transformed. Our mind had to be transformed. So all the shackles and the scales that had placed themselves on our eyes based on the elements, just the mere elements of being burst into the earth realm. And so now you have to deal with it. I don't even want to get on the babies and what the babies have to deal with. Because children are being attacked too. Yes. 3, 5. When your babies, your infants are having what the doctor now calls night terrors. Babies shouldn't be having nightmares. Night terrors. But if you're not conquering your territory, if the adversary is keeping you distracted and you are so focused on the situation that you can't see God, some of you have to go to another level. You've got to raise your level of thinking, and that is in the presence of God. If you are not praying, if you are not in his face, you'll never get the answer. You'll be taking what everybody else tells you. And you'll be trying to figure it out for yourself off of our own intellect. And how many know that don't work? Because if we could do it ourselves, we wouldn't need him. We wouldn't need him. And then the fourth aspect or the fourth season, this is now talking about going into, this is when the sun comes forth. When it comes forth, it's the fullness of the morning. And the fullness of the morning, there is judgment. Judgment. So now we're talking about, now this is the this model that we just laid out that is talking about the dispensation of time and where we are today. We're in the morning. If you understand what's going on in the nation, you understand that we're at that peak of time where we're in the morning. Judgment. God's going to have to make some choices and some decisions. He's going to have to move on some things. Why? Because all of the things that where man is, and look at all of our leaders from a political perspective and all those things that man has put in place, they work themselves into a place of confusion. They don't even know what's right, what's wrong, what's up, what's down. Confused. Confused. The whole issue of the bathrooms and the children. I think I'm going to be this today. I think I'm going to be that tomorrow. Confusion. Confusion. But Alice Bailey had already established these years ago in terms of how to bring a nation down. How to bring a nation down. And what is that all about? Why was it important to bring a nation down? Why did Hitler need to destroy the whole Jewish population? Why do one set of people need to take another people out? Because it's all about territory. It's all about territory. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. What is it talking about? Territory for the kingdom of God. When we're born into the body of Christ, we're born in to continue to carry out the work of Jesus Christ. He said, greater works shall you do. But if we're still stumbling in the dawn, because we won't allow the Holy Spirit to break things off of us. The only way to be effective in ministry is to be authentic. You have to be authentic. Have to be. Have to be. You got to be your own self. gotta be your own self. If we were to just break down the word belief, belief is a state. It is a posture that I take based on what I believe. So if we take be and leaf and break it down, be speaks to your existence, who you are, your essence of you, right? So whatever you feed yourself, that's what you become. That's why people always say, you can't be something that you're not, because you can't. You can try to be a copycat, but you cannot be unless you are, because it is your existence. All we got to do is press you a little bit, and we're going to see exactly who you are. So embellish in who you are. Be who you are. Leaf now means, and it's an archaic word, an old word, and it basically means to be ready to move. So when I talk about belief, I'm talking about a posture that I've taken and a stance to carry out what God has told me that I am to be. Now, if I don't put the word inside of me and I don't have that intimate relationship for him to tell me, girl, you look good. Girl, I fashioned you the way I wanted you to be fashioned. You know how they talk about how you look. You know how they say that this is the way that you are. I designed you for my purpose, and I see the finished work. I see it. You can't see it right now. You can't see it. But I see the finished work. I see the finished work. That's the reason why the Bible says that his thoughts are not grievous towards us. And guess what? He ain't changing his mind. He's not changing his mind. So no matter if you get off to the right or to the left, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. He's going to bring this thing out. If he called you before you were even framed in your mother's womb, if he called you and said, this is who you are, I promise you that's where you'll be. Now you can take the hard road, or you can let him take you right on in. I'm one of those. When I was a young girl, I didn't like getting whoopings, right? So whenever my mother would come and she got ready to whip me, you know, and they always want you to stand there so I can whip you. And I was right close. And I would get close to her, so then when she would swat me, she would get a swat. There that would end the whipping. So that was strategy back then. So when we're talking about the twilight and that place of discomfort, I heard Sister Styler talking about that. Said, oh, she's already in the message. But that's good confirmation of where the house is. Confirmation of where the house is. So when we get into Amos, and it's talking about, because I just want to walk you through this a little bit. We're talking about the time of where things are actually transpiring and what God is saying to a given people. And he says, and in that day I will raise up the temple of David that is falling. So this is, and you know, if you've done any reading in the Old Testament, you read about all the times that the children of Israel came to God and went away, and came to God and went away. The times they were rebellious, the times that they wouldn't hear, and all of these things. So he allowed different ones, he removed his hands, and different ones would come in and take the land. Here he's basically saying, and he's talking to the people of God. He's talking to Israel, and he's letting them know what is going to happen. Again, this was based on that time, but the principle here is a powerful principle. Because right now, today, we're in a season where the world does not know one way from the other. Blinded, walking in total darkness. And we want to be what? The lights. We're supposed to be a city that sitteth upon a hill. We're supposed to be a lighthouse. Are we? We're supposed to be that. That safe place where people can come and get what? The truth. What is the truth? Thy word, O Lord. And where is that truth? In my heart. Because I hid it in my heart. Not just so that I wouldn't sin against him. And the reason why that whole piece is so important of talking about hiding it in my heart so I won't sin against you. Most people think about sin in a little category over here. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So now we're talking about, when we get there, now we're talking about the heavenly script. What does God have for me? And this is what happens when you go into prayer. When you go in and you start seeking his face, he begins to show you a snapshot of where you're supposed to be. He begins to start showing you why you're made the way that you're made. But you don't get those things if you're not in his presence. So then on verse 2 it says, and that they may possess Edom, the remnant of Edom is just a small remnant, and is based on those that had come against them, and all the heathen, all that are called by my name, saith the Lord. Verse 3 is where I want you to get to. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. What this is talking about is acceleration. How many have ever planted anything? How many have done any gardening of any kind? Well, if you've not done any gardening or anything, you first have to plow the ground. You've got to till the ground. You've got to break it up in order to put the seed in. Because if you just took and threw some seeds on the top of the ground, it's not going to go anywhere. You can water it all day. But you've got to get it in the ground. So you have to be able to plow first. And then when you plow, then you have to be able to sow the seed. And then you reap the harvest. Well, in this scripture, he's saying a day is coming that is all going to be on top of each other. The turning over is going to happen before I can even reap. This is talking about accelerated growth. Accelerated growth. And when we talk about accelerated growth, we're talking about moving into a place or a time where anything that is unfruitful or barren has an opportunity to grow. In accelerated growth. In accelerated growth. And how many know this is not an individual kind of word? When he talks about doing anything for a people or a time, it is based on his bride, his whole people, his body. And so if you are in the way, it's just like, I'll use this as a good example. When I was young, if I was afraid to do something and I didn't necessarily feel that my life was right, I would get next to someone so that I could reap the benefits. Where I could feel safe, where I felt like, oh, ain't nothing gonna happen because she's here. Because I was unsure of my walk. I was unsure of my salvation. And this is the same thing here. When you're in the body of Christ, if you'll place yourself and submit yourself in the house of God under the submission of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and go into that secret place, the holies of holies, and begin to commune with him, then you'll see the manifestation of those things. But I'm going to tell you, it's still going to cost you something. Still going to cost you something. You still got to work. And what is that work? That work is getting up in the morning, getting up in the noonday, whenever he says pray. Whenever he says, I want to talk to you, you got to be able to position yourself to be able to hear what he's saying. I mean, I don't understand why it's so hard for us to do that. And the reason why I'm saying that, because it's hard for me too. There's times I want to sit down and watch a good movie. I want to go to the show. I want to go shopping with the girls. But he may say, Cheryl, I need you to come in and just sup with me. I got something I want to tell you. And the reason why that's so valuable to me, and when I understand it and recognize, because I remember when the Lord first started dealing with me about prayer and intercession and getting up and praying when he wanted me. And it was crazy hours of the day. It didn't matter what time of the day it was. And I remember when those times when I was lazy and didn't want to do it. You know, 3 o'clock, and I go back. Okay, Lord, okay. Let me just get a couple more minutes here. Go back to sleep. If I went to sleep and slept the whole time, I realized when I woke up I missed something. And it was so precious to me that he tapped me on my shoulder and said, hey, I want you to come in and talk to me about something. Because the reality is, we're only going to be in the earth realm for a certain period of time. And we're wrapped in this stuff called flesh for a given appointed time. But there is life after this. There is life after this. Most people are not conscious of the reality of the spiritual realm, whether it be of the second heaven or the third heaven, which is the kingdom of God. Second heaven is all spiritual activity. It's kind of like a spiritual cloud or smoke storm that is just constantly going day in and out, day in and out, day in and out. And people aren't conscious of that. People aren't conscious that when they go to sleep at night, your spirit's not asleep. Your spirit's not asleep. So what's happening in the subconscious? That's why people have dreams. Now, most of the time with most dreams, it's the issues of your heart, the stuff that you haven't dealt with, the stuff that you're struggling with, those things that are coming there. But then there are other times when you get visitations. Could be demonic. It could be prophetic of the Lord. And you have to be able to discern the difference. You have to be able to discern. But the reality is you have to position yourself to be in a place to be able to hear what God is saying, because there is an overflow, a spiritual blessing, an unprecedented amount of fruitfulness that occurs. It happens precociously when you decide to let God be God in your life. Just let him be God. And he begins to unravel things and to shape things. Verse 14 says, And I will bring again the captivity of my people to Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink wine thereof, and so on and so on. This is talking about reestablishing and rebuilding. Rebuilding. What do we have to rebuild? What's the main thing that we have to rebuild today? What needs to be built today? We've got so much work to do. We look at our school systems, and they are wrecked. You look at media, entertainment, all perverted. All perverted. I didn't think I'd ever see or hear of a movie or a television show called Lucifer. I was just like, when I saw it, I was like, huh? And I don't watch television much, but, you know, I was flicking through, and I was like, Lucifer, this cannot be real. I'm dreaming, right? So you have all of these things, and we have so many other issues that are happening. Human trafficking. Enormous. Human trafficking. The amount of domestic abuse that happens and occurs. So let's just take it a little bit further, and let's look at our children. And you look at the medical community, and our children now suffer more with ADHD and ADD than any other thing. It's crazy. And children cannot control their members, their mind, their body. And a lot of that has to do with what is put in the food. And a lot of it has to do with the DNA of this earth dispensation. Time and time and time, everything evolves into something. And over time, when you continue to do the same thing, have the same practices, it then comes out. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is going to sound a little gross, but I mean, think about it. We've got so many waterways in the world. Only so many. And we keep recycling water, wastewater, over and over and over and over and over. So Flint got busted. And there's another place in California that got busted. But I promise you that authorities up high know about it, because what is it about? Territory and resources to be able to supply the territory. So you have, when you go to neighborhoods that are more impoverished, you see the same kind of things. You see the liquor stores, you see grocery stores that have grade B, grade C, and grade D leveled food, and people continue to eat this stuff over and over and over and over, and it deteriorates the body. It completely tears it down. This is why it's so important. It's so important for us to evolve in Christ. This is why it's important that we get through the dawn. This is the reason why in those situations, in those circumstances, we allow Him to be Him. Because if we're just continuing to focus on our own issues, we won't have time for anybody else. So we got to learn how to be able to go through it. Go through it as a good soldier. Lord, what do you say? Which way do I need to go? Where do I need to stand? What do I need to do? Whatever I need to do, I'm going to do it. Why? Because the process has to take place in order to break off the old me. It's got to happen. And once I can allow Him to continue to break off, because nothing can grow. Nothing can grow until that seed breaks forth. Nothing can. There won't be a harvest. So you got to let Him do a quick work. Let Him do a precocious work. Let Him get it done. Let Him get it done. Why? Souls depend on it. The children in your home depend on it. Because if you don't understand territory, then you won't stand, hallelujah, and declare what should happen in your house. You won't be able to recognize and to discern. You'll still be trying to deal with something from the physical. The child has something that is wrong and that's disturbing him. Maybe the child was attacked at night and you're beating and beating and beating and beating and nothing's happening. Another level of consciousness has to arise. God, what do you say concerning this situation? And I promise you, He'll give you the prescription and the antidote to deal with it. And then you'll be able to go into that child's room and be able to anoint them and have the right prescription. Do you know how many times people pray, and this bugs me, really bugs me. I do not like praying in the wilderness, is what I call praying in the wilderness. People just start tossing up prayers, just words, words. He said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth. That means it gets it done. But think about the two words, effectual and fervent. Effectual and fervent. Effectual speaks to my ability to get the heavenly script concerning a situation and point in time for that situation or individual. Fervent means my stance, my belief, my posture. It's heated. And what heats me up? The Holy Ghost. So if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, praying for naught. The Holy Ghost is that fortifying power. It is that fire that burns things up. I read on your poster that y'all were flames of fire. So if you are flames of fire, then you use everything that God is giving you in your benefit package. And the Holy Ghost is one of them. I tell you, I'm going to use everything that He gives me in mine. Why? generations. So I want my daughter to prosper, but not just my daughter, but her children and her children. I mean, their children and their children. As many generations as I can put it in. I'm trying to put it in. Because today, if you don't have a sure foundation on the word of God, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will stand. His word, his truth word, not a watered down word, not a fluffy word, something that makes you feel good. I want somebody to tell me. If I got a booger in my nose, tell me. I'm just being straight. Don't have me looking crazy. I want somebody to tell me. I don't want to go through life, and especially at this point in time in my life, I am looking for only opportunities, and I'm only I'm placing myself in what I call my inner circle around those that can give life. Those that have mobility, because if you don't have mobility, it slows you down. It slows you down. So the reality, ladies, if we're going to be flames of fire, then we got to jump into the deep and let God do what he's going to do. Let him work out what he needs to work out of us so that we can let love overflow to our brothers and sisters. You know, a lot of people think it's just about feeding the poor and going and, you know, doing this over here and doing this over there. And, you know, I'm going to make you feel comfortable and cozy. And the Bible tells us, it says true religion is giving to the widows and the children, those that are fatherless. That is true religion. It is a discipline of getting yourself to understanding this is what we need to do as a society to take care of one another. But the church of the living God has to have another message. You have to be able to give what the world can't give. And if you can't give what the world can't give, then what good? What use are we? That's the reason why I said if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? I love salt. And if I'm shaking and trying to put salt on and it's not tasting like salt, I'm going to find me another shaker. Reality. That's what we have to be. That's what we have to be. And you got to be able to be it with your authentic self. Authentic self. If you coming through the door and you kicking and screaming and you being bodacious and that's who you are, let the Holy Ghost, everybody leave her alone. Let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost is going to do. He knows how. He knows how to work it out. When we trying to fix people, it's a mess. Because you can't fix them. Wasn't designed for you to fix them. That's not what we're supposed to do. We help navigate folks to Christ and help usher them in to be able to have their own relationship. We create an atmosphere. In our ministry, we create an atmosphere so when people come in, they can step into the pool and feel life. They can feel his strength. They can feel his power. They felt like they weren't going to make it, that they were getting ready to take their life. And trust you, trust me. We have had some cases, and we've watched God do the miraculous. The miraculous. And all we had to do was set the atmosphere. Let God be God. But when we don't recognize, and we don't even know how to entreat the Holy Spirit, we come in and we mess things up like a bull in a china shop. Create the atmosphere. Let God be God. And I promise he'll show you how. It just automatically comes. And why does the love automatically come? Because you've been broken. You see the frailties of humanity. We see the frailties of ourselves. We're not puffed up. We're not thinking of ourselves more than what we ought to. We understand. This then when we say, Lord, we want to care about the things that you care about, he can trust us. Because we truly will. I hope that I said something that encouraged you and will challenge you to be conscious of what God is doing. Be conscious of where he's trying to take you. And he will give the increase to your life and to those that you touch. Let's give God a praise. Before I take my seat, if there's anyone